Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day, I read a scientific paper and I came across an error. Well, no big deal, you would say, but I looked at the citation these people used and I read the other article, and this article made the original mistake. So, how can it happen that the first journal actually got it wrong, the reviewers didn't realize it, then the new paper quotes them, and these reviewers in this journal don't realize the error either? That is a little heavy, right? So shame on these reviewers. What happened? I quote here the sentence that really started all. I quote, "Human shark contacts increased in recent years." That sounds like a simple result, right? And if the people use statistics, they can really show it goes up, goes down, or at least they can use citations that proved it in the past. But of course, the citation in this case was incorrect. Why is that statement incorrect? Or what is the error here? That an increase in contact happens with on contact, we mean bites, of course. The number of people entering the water needs to be known, or any proxy that allows a comparison. So, for example, the number of people are at the beach, or the beach population, I mean the people living in a village close to shore, anything that gives a certain value that we can compare it to. Of course, the authors of this paper I'm quoting from did not validate what they wrote, but quoted, as just mentioned, another paper, which likewise tried to convince their audience that bites are indeed on the rise in the last few years. Of course, that statement does not fly either because, again, it lacks the same comparison. So we have now two papers that have the same error, and in both cases, the reviewers did not notice them. Shame on these reviewers, right? But although I now gave you a quick answer, what needs to be known to conclude bites or contacts are on the rise or the drop, it's not really that simple. You may have read some of our papers on bite rates. If not, send me a note and I forward them to you. So in there, again, we use bite rates. That means we have the actual number of a bite for a certain area. And then, for example, we have beach going population. So we have a number to compare to. So it's a ratio. So let's now assume that this ratio, the bite rate, is higher in one beach area than compared to the other. That could mean that if we had the same number of people in the water between the two areas, one showed more bites, or it could also mean that we had the same number of bites, but one area had less people in the water, so the rate goes up. So I see it's just a plain interpretation how we can affect a ratio. But we could push this issue even further. We could say that because more incident-prone species are in one area than in the other, the rates are higher. So, for example, you have one beach where you always have, like, sharks who never bite because of the species that are present, or you have another area where you always have the tigers, the bulls, the blacktips, or whatsoever, then the ratio would go up. So that would make sense. Or you could also have two beaches that have the same number of people in the water and also the same number of incident-prone species at both sides. So if now on one beach the people stay closer together, then less sharks would dare, then the bite rate would go down again. So you cannot always just use the plain numbers. Very often you have to ask from a behavioral aspect, does this make sense, or why could it be, despite that we have the same number of sharks or the same species of incident-prone sharks, why can it be that we still have a different ratio? I think you understand what I'm saying, right? But there's something else that keeps me very much intrigued when we calculate bite rates. It is individual sharks' decision-making. Decision-making truly means the shark gets closer to a person, he has a search image, looks for the image, then realizes what he sees doesn't go hand in hand with the search image, so the shark gets cautious, hesitant, so and he makes a decision. So this is what it always comes down to, getting closer or leave, bite or no bite. Should you have a region with regular bites and all of a sudden you get a bunch of sharks with a lower threshold to approach, well, then you have more bites. So the result would be an increase in bite rate, considering the number of people entering the water would be the same. So, knowing now all these things, don't you feel that the reviewers of these two journals should have at least tendentially realized that one can't make such a statement? I guess you should, right? But then again, they didn't. Even if they're not familiar with shark's biology, they at least should show some awareness of basic statistics, and in most cases that has not been done. Whenever I'm reviewing a paper on sharks, I always make sure the mathematical approach is correct, since quite often you find problems right there. And I really believe if you're not familiar or not able to quantify and qualify your results, ask a mathematician, ask a statistician, ask anybody who is savvy enough to interpret the results or use which test is most appropriate. So now that we covered the most essential part, there's something else that needs to be highlighted when it comes to shark bites. How do you want to quantify incidents that occurred minus spear fishing? This activity causes plenty of bites each year. So can we use them as a regular bite or not? No, we cannot use them. I exclude them from every paper where I talk about shark bites, that is a ratio, since spear fishing is biasing the true value. As soon as we start to do anything that increases bites because of the attractiveness of the activity, maybe shark feeding by hand, again spear fishing, it does not reflect the natural scenario of by chance encounters. Being able to use the yearly bites in a correct manner should be easy, but I think you get the idea why one can be led astray from the incidents that can be included. But there is something else, the fatal bites. Can we really do anything with the number of these bites besides mentioning that X or Y people died due to sharks during such and such year? No, we can't do much, as long as we do not compare all the fatal incidents with each other. One big problem we have is, if a person gets severely bitten in a popular beach area, and another one gets bitten in the same way but in a remote area, well, the likelihood that the guy in the remote area won't make it. So how do we quantify or qualify these two bites, although they have the same outcome? So here as well, when mentioning fatal incidents over the years, we cannot just conclude based on the number about increase or decrease, since the outcome of such bite is influenced by a variety of reasons. The same thing how we actually just interpreted bite rates. When do they go up, down, although we had the same number of people in the water, the same number of incident prone species there. So you see, there's a problem. We have to actually individually look at these things, at these bites, and interpret, can it go, do they go up and down? And again, we have to include the number of people entering the water any given time and so on, proxy, as highlighted before. Whenever laymen and some scientists I know of talk about the number of incidents, you can pretty much be assured that their statements are incorrect. Send me a note and I'll give you some ideas what I mean. Believe me, it's mind-boggling. Understanding bites and quantify or qualify them is not a simple task, but we just saw it what it all entails. But unfortunately, people just think that a higher number than the year before indeed means an increase. So what is now the answer to the number of bites? Do they increase, have they increased over the years on a worldwide basis? No, they have not. And you know what? Would it really matter if there would be an increase in bites? We're talking about 80 to 100 incidents per year that includes the most abundant top predators over 50 kilograms on our planet. We have millions of swimming, bathing, surfing events every day, and still, we do not have bites every day, but any 4/5, every third day. So that tells you something. Just this constellation alone tells you right there that the probability of getting bitten is very, very low. So we should not have to discuss if there is an increase or decrease, but the low number compared to any other animal that have been involved in incidents. So just The event as such is relevant. Doesn't matter if you have 10 or 5, 10 bytes more, 5 bytes less in a given year. So such an angle would be much more fruitful. But as long as sharks are feared and some scientists who should know better are not able to quantify and qualify bytes, we won't see a change. And a change is definitely needed because sharks are seen through the lens of bytes. Okay, that's it today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and remember, if you meet a shark out there, enjoy the moment, and also remember, it is a privilege to be among them.